Tonight we're actually going to look at alabaster. And I was like, oh, great, I get to talk about alabaster without being in costume. It's kind of a refreshing change. Although our scripture verse is very appropriate to be done during the offering. Oh, I have glasses here somewhere. There we go. Okay, look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I really sat and thought about that verse for a while before I even got into the rest of the lesson. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We live in such a blessed nation. We have so much compared to so many people in the world. And we're going to kind of look at that as we go through the lesson here tonight. But we have been enriched in every way. In every way. And we should use that to be generous on every occasion. And I was thinking about this every occasion. That doesn't mean every time your phone rings and there's somebody wanting money, you know, or everything you get in the mail. On every occasion that God is leading you to be generous, I think is sort of the key here. Not every time the world wants you to be generous, because, yeah, not even going there. But when the Lord leads us to be generous, we need to be generous in every way that he asks us to be generous. And that's not just writing out that check. That's generous with our time, generous with our talents, generous with all that we are. I think if we really would delve into what God would have us to do and how he would want us to be generous, there's no end to what we would be capable of through him. And then the result, thanksgiving to God. Everything we do should go back to bringing praise and worship to God. It's not about us. it's not about, you know, making something, you know, an organization or whatever look good. It should bring praise to God. And I think if we want to know if our generosity is working and is doing what it's supposed to be doing, what is that end result? Is it bringing praise to God? And that's kind of why I went back to, you know, don't be generous in the way the world wants you to be generous, because that doesn't bring praise to God all the time, hardly ever. You know, they lay on the guilt trips and, you know, they whatever, you know, and but it doesn't bring praise to God. You see these commercials on TV, you know, they want your money, but they're not doing it for God's glory. Our generosity needs to bring praise to God. So today we're going to talk about the Alabaster program that's in our church. It started in 1949, and it's just been an amazing program within the church and has done incredible things. Alabaster funds have helped out with over 9,000 projects, and they've raised over $115 million. And in 2017, so just last year, almost $2.5 million was raised through Alabaster. And when I first saw that, you know, I'm like making sure I saw that right. You know, is that decimal really there? You know, $2.5 million. I thought, wow, that's a lot. You know, and then I start thinking about all the needs around the world. And I'm like, wow, that's not enough. but God has been good, and we're going to see tonight some of what is happening with that, and some ways that has just been multiplied beyond expectations, as only God can do. It's kind of neat with Alabaster. Alabaster is an offering that is taken in just about every Nazarene church around the world. And sometimes it gets rather creative. So, you know, you have the cultures like ours, where we're putting our coins and our cash and our checks, you know, in the Alabaster box. And sometimes, you know, it gets creative with how they collect it. You know, we always put the church up here. That's kind of neat, you know, putting the building money into the building. I like that. But, you know, like our little church wouldn't work in some areas of the world where they're donating chickens, you know, or corn or whatever, you know, and that's just not going to work, you know. Got to create a chickens. It's not going to fit in our little church building there. but it's neat how people are willing to give whatever it is that they can give. And whatever that culture can do, you know, that the people are bringing their offerings to help build all over the world. And anybody can participate in Alabaster. And that's one of the neat things about it. We might do it in different ways and different amounts, but anybody can donate to Alabaster. Most of you know the story behind Alabaster is the woman that had the alabaster jar and poured it on Jesus' feet there. And it was just this selfless gift. And a lot of the idea behind that was she gave up a luxury. She gave up a want. She was a woman, and this was an expensive perfume. This was a luxury item, okay? She gave up this luxury item to worship the Lord. And for us, what can we give up as a luxury item? What is a want that we could give up to meet this need? And through our giving it up, worship the Lord. Hopefully that came out right. Did you get that? we're giving up something we want. It's not necessary in our lives. And we're giving that up and using that to meet a need within the church. And that sacrifice is an act of worship to God. I was thinking as I was looking at this, and I thought, you know, giving up a want to meet a need. And I think sometimes, especially in our culture, we have a unique way of defining a need. I see this with my daughter, Hannah. She's a typical teenage girl, you know, the fashion. She always looks beautiful, you know. She's incredible. And she'll go to, like, Community 8. At least she does it on a tight budget, you know. But she's like, I went to Community 8 and I bought, you know, 6 more shirts because I really needed them. And I look around her room and I'm like, really? You needed those? You know? Because they're now with the 2,000 other shirts that you own. You know? It's certainly not just Hannah. I think all of us, if we were to write down how we would define need and the needs in our life and what we need, it would look very, very different than if we went to a third world country and said, define what you need, you know? Even in our house, you know, we've got enough food, you know, for the next month, you know, because you know, you need more, you know, and you go into another country, and if they have more than enough for today, they're sharing that with their neighbor. Because they have more than they need, you know. I could share mine with an army, you know. We have this idea of need, and I was kind of challenged looking at this, just to think, what do I consider a need that's really a luxury item that maybe I could do without? And God has blessed us, and he wants us to enjoy our lives. And I'm not saying we need to, you know, sell everything and walk around naked. But, Francis of Assisi there. But maybe we do need to reevaluate. What are our needs? I was kind of thinking all these storage units out there, and I thought, you know, all this stuff that's hoarded and stored away in these units isn't bringing joy or help to anyone. Is there a better use for that? You know, our culture's just... We have interesting ideas on this. So anyway, what can we give up? What luxury item can we give up? Make that sacrifice as a sign of our worship to God and give it to a need, whether it's alabaster or anything else, but I'm focusing on alabaster tonight. But alabaster, 100%, you probably know this, 100% of everything that's given to alabaster goes for building or land projects. It's either building a building or buying the land to put the building on in the future. A lot of times these projects go in phases because the funds are not all there. So they'll buy the property and then they'll build, or they'll buy a building and then they'll renovate, or however that works. But 100% of the money, there's the overhead is absorbed into our World Evangelism Fund. So 100% that goes into our little church up here goes to building buildings or buying land. I like that 100% number. You look at some of these other charities and you wonder, you know, how much does the CEO get? You know, we give 100%. I like this sentence here. God wants to grow your heart more than your bank account. He wants to grow your heart more than your bank account. I kind of wonder, with so many of us, what's our higher priority? You know, do we want to grow? Are we spending our time and efforts growing our bank account, or our time and efforts growing our heart? And the neat thing is, you know, when we die and we leave this planet, our bank account stays here. Our heart goes with us. Kind of something to think about. He is so good to us. He enriches us. He blesses us. We have so much. And he gives it to us so that we, in turn, can use that to glorify him. He allows us to be generous. That's kind of neat. He blesses us so that we can bless others, and that can continue. And it's really interesting how people who have so little are sometimes the most generous people on the earth. The people that, you know, you look at and you think, wow, they, you know, they're poor, they have nothing, and yet they're the ones helping other people. And I think that's one of the reasons that these offerings are so successful in third world countries, is because they've been blessed with the generosity. Maybe they're worshiping in a church that was provided with alabaster funds, and so they have this passion to give to help somebody else, because they know the value of that offering, the help and the benefit and the blessing that it was, and they want to be a part of helping someone else. So often, it's the people that understand a need and a luxury item, you know, and they have completely different ways of looking at that than we do. They're the ones that are so generous, because they know just how little is truly needed, and they're willing to be generous with that. And they have some exciting stories, and we're going to look at some of those tonight. The first one is a church of the Nazarene in the Philippines. It's called the General Mariana Alvarez Church of the Nazarene, and there's a lot of street kids in the Philippines, and so this church has an outreach to these street kids. These kids are out there, they're begging. That's their only way of survival, and so the General Mariana Alvarez Church supports about 200 kids on a regular basis, and they just reach out to them in very practical ways. And they found out that four of the kids that were coming to them were begging on the streets, and they were supporting their grandmother, who was back at home. And so they were begging and supporting her. And when they realized this, they started taking care of the grandmother as well. And so they gave the family clothing, and they made sure they had two meals a day. They provided a place for the family to shower. And this is something we don't really think of oftentimes, but a lot, you know, you're living on the streets, you have nowhere to shower, to bathe. And of course, you know, they invited them to church. And the kids came to church, and they started learning and worshiping and, you know, figuring the whole thing out. And the church, you know, brought up their alabaster offering. And so, you know, we're going to be taking this offering. And to all the kids in the church, they gave these little dinosaur banks, real colorful, cute. You know, the kids loved them, dinosaurs. How can you go wrong with a dinosaur, right? Even in another country, kids love dinosaurs. So all the kids got this plastic bank dinosaur. And each of the four kids, you know, they got one. And these kids were so impressed at what the church had done for them, even at their young age. And they wanted so much to give back. And so they got together and they decided that they would take the money that they made begging and give a third, put that one third into their dinosaur and give it back. And think about that, a third. You're living begging, you know? Sometimes we're like, oh, I've got to give a tenth? Really? I've got a tithe? you know, they gave a third, and they put that in their dinosaur. And they said when they brought their dinosaurs in for their alabaster offering, their smiles were just beaming. You know, they had the biggest smiles in the church. And they said the congregation of that church saw the fruits of their outreach, their generosity to this family, and then the generosity that brought on, and how that just continued. Wonderful testimony. When God's people are generous, we instill generosity in others. Anybody can participate in Alabaster, and that's one of the neat things. You know, we do a lot of work in witness trips, and not everybody can participate in a work and witness trip. It's expensive, you know. Number one, it's expensive. You got to have a passport, you know, and you have to have the money. You have to have good health. You know, if your health isn't, you know, good enough to go, yeah, you know, that can be a problem. Maybe there's other obligations. You've got parents with children that, you know, you need to make arrangements for, whatever. It's very difficult. You might have a job that you can't get off that kind of time. There's a lot of reasons why somebody maybe couldn't do something like a work and witness trip or couldn't be a counselor at camp right now. You know, it's just sometimes stuff gets in the way, and maybe your heart would like to, but it's just not your time right now to be doing that. But Alabaster kind of levels that playing field. Anybody can give to Alabaster. It doesn't matter if it's a lot, if it's a little, you know, it doesn't matter what your health is, it doesn't matter what, you know, what your job obligations are, your family obligations. You can do it. And so it kind of levels everything. It's a wonderful story here about Lisa. Lisa has some very severe physical and mental issues. She's completely dependent on her family and the caregivers that she has in her life to care for her. She's pretty much, you know, at home. She can't do much. And she doesn't have a lot of math skills, but she knows that the more coins that go into her alabaster box, the bigger her offering is. Snook, I was thinking about you. She knows that more is better. More is better when it comes to the offering. She doesn't know how much those coins are worth, and she can't add them all up, but she knows if there's more in there, it's a good thing. She can't work. You know, she's got all these limitations. What could she do? So she got creative. You gotta love creative people. She decided she was going to collect soda cans. I was thinking about the thing that used to be out there. I guess it's down the road further now, but collect soda cans. Take them in. Be recycled. So she started collecting soda cans, and then she'd take them, you know, to have them recycled and put those coins in her alabaster box. And then other people in her apartment building heard what she was doing, and they'd bring her their cans, you know, so she could put more coins, because more is better, in her alabaster box. And this was something that was relatively simple. Even she could do it with her all of her limitations. She could do this, but she was able to give to Alabaster. She enjoyed giving. And she wasn't, you know, doing it out of her own paycheck or sacrificing of her own, you know, income or anything like that. She was just creative. How can I get coins? And she turned her soda cans into an alabaster offering. Another story here, Tai Tai, who's a church in Rizal, in the Philippines, also in the Philippines. 7-year-old boy heard about the alabaster offering, and you know, all about how it makes, you know, provides buildings, and really wanted to participate. And in his church, they handed out like pledge cards, kind of like our faith promise, and they handed out these pledges. And he pledged to give 500 pesos, which is about $11 in American money, but over there, you know, that's a lot. 500 pesos. That was a leap of faith for a 7-year-old boy, you know. He put it down. He had no idea how he was going to come up with 500 pesos. And so he started praying about it. And his school was celebrating a Philippine United Nations Day. And they had a competition where you could come up with an international costume and wear this costume to school, and it would be judged. And if you won the competition, three guesses what the prize is? 500 pesos. And guess who won? he got the prize. And he was so proud. Alabaster Sunday, when he could bring his 500 pesos and put it in that offering and fulfill the pledge that he had made. And again, I thought about that. He gave 100%. 100%. He won that competition, and he asked God for none of it. He gave it all completely over. And I thought, too, about the leap of faith to put down on that pledge card, 500 pesos. Probably at that time, he might have well put down $1 million, you know? It wasn't a realistic amount for him in his life at that point. But he put it down, believing that God would somehow make that possible. And God did. God is good. Another story, church in Spain. It was organized in 2005, but they didn't have good housing for their pastor. And the district superintendent kind of heard about this and put in a request for alabaster funds. And eventually, in August of 2014, they were able to put down a down payment on the parsonage. But the parsonage that they purchased, it was an apartment, kind of needed a lot of work, to put it mildly. And so a whole bunch of volunteers from across the district and other people who had heard about this project came and helped, you know, begin the remodeling work. And then a Church of the Nazarene in Indiana, USA, heard about this and decided to put together a work and witness team and sent a team from the United States over to Spain to help with this parsonage. And by March of 2017, the pastor and his family have a lovely new apartment, well, new, relatively speaking, to live in, thanks to the alabaster money that started the process. So we had alabaster, we had all these volunteers, we had this work and witness. The whole process came together to help create this church. And it's kind of neat how alabaster is just one part of the Nazarene puzzle. And it, you put that together with volunteers and working witness and all the other pieces of the puzzle, the communication and the connections and everything that comes together. And God has this beautiful picture at the end. And God knew that picture. He knew what that was going to look like when he started handing out the pieces and saying, okay, you take care of this and you take care of that, you know, and all the pieces came together. And then everybody could stand back and say, wow, God is good. Look at what he's done this time. You know, he did it again. How awesome. Alabaster, you know, we hand out the little boxes, and they've kind of been changing over the years. We've got the different designs. We've got the kids' boxes and stuff like that. But it's really important, too, to think outside the box, outside that little cardboard, you know, what can you do beyond your little alabaster box? And there's a Church of the Nazarene in Arkansas, and they decided they wanted to do something. In 1999, Alabaster celebrated its 50th anniversary, and they decided they wanted to do something really special above and beyond the box. And they decided they were going to have a birthday party for Alabaster, a birthday bash. And they set up this whole thing. They're going to have a potluck dinner. They decorated 12 tables, and each table was a different month. And they had people come into the potluck, and instead of sitting, you know, with your usual groups of people, the way we do, they said, sit at your birthday month. So all the, you know, January birthdays sat there and so on. And then in the middle of each table was a birthday cake bank-type box thing. And everybody at that table would put their offering into that. And then the money counters counted up each month. And so, you know, there was like a rivalry to see, you know, which month gets the biggest offering. So, you know, give generously to make sure your month wins, you know. And it was a huge success. People loved it. So in 2000, they said, let's do it again. Why not? So it's kind of become an annual event. But then the people that couldn't stay for the potluck dinner and to put their money in their month's, you know, offering said, hey, you know, what about us? And so they changed the format, and they put their 12 cakes up on the altar, and you bring your offering up during the church service, and then you have the potluck afterwards, and they announce the winners and everything. And so it's kind of evolved a little bit to fit the lifestyle of the church there. But what a wonderful creative idea, you know? Thinking outside the box, how can we support Alabaster creatively? Kind of neat. It's so important. Go back to our, let me just read this one more time, our scripture verse. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It is important that we as Christians take every offering seriously. I know sometimes, you know, it seems like we might take a lot of them or, you know, whatever. So, oh, another offering, something else. But it's so important that we take each one seriously and ask, what does God want you to give? What does God want me to give to this offering? Take this seriously. Pray about it. I know, you know, a lot of times, maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe you're much better than I am. But, you know, it's like an offering. I'm like, okay, you know, I write out the check for what I know we can afford, and I toss it in there, you know. And I really don't put a lot of thought and prayer into God. What would you have me do this time? What do you want me to give to this one? You know, I just do it based on what I want to do a lot of times. You know, write that check, psh, done. What can I give? What does God want me to give? One of the things I really kind of wish, you know, I know Alabaster, we've got the box. You're supposed to put that money in there regularly. Unfortunately, in my life, I'd lose the box. You know, but I think it would be really neat if I could be more self-disciplined and do it that way. Because every time I could drop that money in the box, I could pray for Alabaster as well. And again, hopefully you can do better than me on that one. But to pray over our offerings. You know, we collect these offerings, you know, once a year, once every other year, whatever we do, twice a year. And we collect the offering and then it's done and we forget about it. But what if we just saturated each offering with prayer on a regular basis? And just, you know, that Alabaster money, we collect that money once every whatever, but it's being spent every day of the year. You know, it's being divvied out. What if we prayed over that offering a little more regularly? How can we give up some of those luxury items to meet some of those needs? One of my mantras, and both my kids and the kids across the street will tell you because they hear it from me regularly, is I want to live my life with no regrets. That's my goal, you know? when I'm standing at somebody's funeral and I'm looking at them, I want no regrets with my relationship with that person, you know? When I, whatever, you know, I want no regrets. No regrets. I want to live my life with no regrets. And I was thinking, so I was putting this together, I thought, yeah, the ultimate, when it's my funeral and I'm standing before God, is he going to say to me, I blessed you with so much and you did what? Or is he going to say to me, well done. He is so good to us. Can we at the end of our lives truly say we have no regrets with the amount of generosity we showed to further his kingdom? Can we truly say we worshiped him with our generosity? I hope that gives you something to think about. It's quite a challenge, and I'm not sure that any of us gets it 100%. I think we all have room to grow. And I hopefully, you know, look around your house, be creative, take these things to God in prayer. Hopefully this will make you think a little bit. The end, when you stand before the throne of judgment, what will he say? I sincerely hope it's well done. So, let's have a word of prayer, and you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we can meet here. Lord, thank you for the goodness that you shower down upon us. And Lord, I thank you for the support of the people here, the generosity of their time, the generosity of their laughter, the generosity of their prayers, Lord. I ask that you would bless each one here. Lord, help us as we look at our lives and see how else we can worship you. What more could we do? God, give us a passion to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your work. God, make us an active people with a desire to do something. Help us to be creative in what and how to do it. With wherever we're at in life, God, I know you have a purpose for each one of us. And help us to find that purpose and to fulfill it, Lord. Help us to each be a very, very special part of your plan and your kingdom. God, help us to reach the end of our lives with no regrets. Lord, we just ask that your word would be spread through buildings, through property, through preaching, through medicine. Lord, in every different aspect around the world, may your glory shine out and reach into every shadow that's there, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you so much.